This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Hip Hop National.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight, another great night right here at Hip Hop National. Because tonight we're going to be digging in talking about the do's and don'ts of breaking music. But before we get started, let's cover the show as we always do right here on Hip Hop National. Lord, thank you for giving us this platform to express ourselves collectively as a community, letting us come together as one mind, moving towards doing good business in this industry of music. Lord, I ask that you cover every ear and every mind that is tuned in, locked in, and listening to this program, that they would gain from it what is necessary to help them throughout their lives and help others throughout their lives. We ask you that in Jesus' name as we pray, amen. Guys, I'm a Christian. I do hip-hop, okay? Just to let you guys know, I love what I do, love the program, and I'm not doing that to influence you in any way or manner. So you pray and do praise in your name, or in whatever name that you think is necessary. I just do it in my tone. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's the disclaimer. And here's another disclaimer. Tonight, parents, if you're listening in, please do not get offended if things get a little carried away on the show. But tonight we're going to reveal the best facts that we possibly can about the do's and don'ts of breaking music. I have DJ Big O. I'm going to let him give the honors of telling you who he is, what he's done in the marketplace, and what he's contributing as we speak. DJ O, welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. You now have
What's going on? How you doing, family? What's going on?
Doing pretty good, buddy. How you doing?
Brother, I'm just cooling, man. Just, you know, a lot of radio interviews and conference calls. I'm on here with you now. Get off one line, get on the next.
Absolutely. DJ Big O. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Tonight, tell people, for one, tell them what area you're calling from as we speak.
I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana. They're home of the Indianapolis Colts, 317. My Twitter is at DJ Big O. The letter B-I-G-O and the number 317 with a D.
Okay. Thank you, DJ Big O. Now, Delisette, go ahead and tell us your opening statement for tonight's topic.
Well, basically what I do is I pretty much have the same format as your show does, is I do a music consultation where I sit indie artists down and indie labels down, and I break down the business in its raw, simplest form. That
just
disclaimer.
I want to make it clear that, you know, for them, that they would have to come through my program to get to you.
Oh, yeah, of course. They got to come through the program. I'm just letting them know basically what I do.
Okay.
But, you know, in hindsight, I break different situations down and give you the real and the skinny with numbers, not with a big inflated price tag that a lot of people would get. We give you numbers that will get you results. You know, we advocate for the indie artists, just as your show does. We inform you of what you need to know, you know, and we help get you out there in a sense. So I got 30 years in this business. I started off with hip rock. A lot of people don't know what that is, but hip rock is actually I started off, I grew up in the 80s, the rock and roll era, and then I won a DJ contest, and I got turned on to hip-hop to Run DMC. They took me under their wing. They introduced me to Aerosmith, and I started learning the business from a whole different side, the real side.
Okay. So you said the real side. What other side is it if it's not, if it's, I mean, be clear with me when you say the real side. That way I get a clear understanding.
The real side is with the legalities of the paperwork, the black and white, the ink. You know, once people sign their name on into a contract format, that is the real side. That is done. We call it corporate America. But, you know, unfortunately, there are other people, excuse me, I want to watch what I say on the air, but there are other snakes that are out here that will take advantage of a situation. I call them fast talkers.
Don't say there are other snakes, because when you say that, who else is inclusive in that what you're saying? And it sounds like, don't get me wrong, you don't want to put yourself in that arena. There are snakes out there. There are snakes,
right.
And I'll be clear with you, that will take advantage of you. And if you,
right.
You know, and I totally 100% agree with you, what you're saying. This is a greedy oriented business. It's a lot of people. Their eyes is big, and they have no intentions to help you. They just want to assist you out of loosening every dime you got in your pocket.
That's right. They want to get your elbow, your leg, your kneecap, your hip, and your joint if they can take it from you and don't care that you need it and won't have no regards of your situation financially. They don't care what kind of job you got or anything. You know, that's just what they do. So, you know, you're 100% right. But when I use that word other, though, is just because you get stuff in black and white, people can still manipulate the system. So I bring that awareness to everybody to say, hey, you know, you got to make sure, get online, check things out, ask questions. Just because it looks good on black and white, that doesn't mean it always is good. You know, that's why I use the word other when I said there are others, because there are people that can do stuff in a corporate manner and still get you. You know,
yeah.
You have
yeah.
to be very conscious of your surroundings. You just, you know, if you don't know nothing about the music industry, that's why they tune into your program, am I right? So they can learn,
absolutely.
You know, and that's the whole objective. You're teaching by personal experience and through others' experience, and that's the best way for people to learn.
Yes, sir. Raw Dog has also joined us, but before we get to Raw Dog, I want to get your clear opening statement of just give us a few ideas of the do's and don'ts when breaking music.
As breaking music or breaking into the music industry?
Breaking into the music industry. Let's say that.
Okay. All right. As far as breaking into music industry, the do's is you have to do a formal introduction in a form of a press release, 250 words or less, introducing the world, the DJs, the clubs, the promoters, the booking agencies, who you are and why they should potentially pay attention to you, of your movement that you're about to start on whatever date you're about to launch. Those are the do's. The don'ts is don't just get out here think you can make a hot song and walk up to anybody in a club, in the middle of a club session, you know, hence me, a DJ, and say, hey, play my song, and you shove a CD in front of me. You know, another do situation is call that club and say, what time does your DJ come and set up? Go there and talk to them why it's just the people that work in the club and the DJ, why he's bringing his equipment in. When he does a sound check, what you got there for me? Okay, artist X here, let me get your CD, let me play it. He's going to run your stuff while he do the sound check. If they like it, they will play it. That's a do. A don't is don't be disrespectful when you see a DJ in a club or you see them in a grocery store where they're not doing music and they're like, man, I came to you last night. They might tell you about something you don't want to hear. You know, so those are the do's and don'ts. I just gave you two of each.
All right, I appreciate that. We also got Raw Dog on. Law Dog, give me a brief opening of tonight's topic. Tell everybody where you're calling in from. And
all right. Actually, Poeg, this is Rod Dog's son. They call me Dr. Alex. A.T. Yeah.
Dr. A.T.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
my dad ain't here yet. He's going to be coming here in a few minutes, so I'm holding it down.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. A.T. Go ahead, tell us what you're doing out there, sir.
All right, I'm out here in the Pacific Northwest in the Seattle area. I'm also a producer, like my father, Raw Dog. I play the bass, drums, keyboards. I'm a vocalist, so I sing, rap, I songwrite. I'm 19 years old, and I'm grinding every single day. I'm producing other young artists, and I'm trying to help the young people, you know, get out there because, you know, it's hard. It's hard out there, and you know, I'm the Pied Piper up here in the Pacific Northwest with my father, and we're just working.
All right, thank you, Dr. AT. Is the opening. All right,
for the,
and we got PAT on the mic. PAT, you now got the floor, sir.
Yo, what's good? It's PAT Louisiana's finest. How everybody doing out there?
We are doing great, bro.
All right. So, basically, I'm an artist from Louisiana, and I just not joined in. I'm liking what I'm hearing already from the DJ, man. That was just, like, that was just some power. Right there.
Power, bro. Power.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you say, you're just tuning in. I'm going to give him a good chance to kind of broadcast what he actually – how he got into this breaking of the industry himself. He only gave us a brief opening of it, but today I heard a little bit more details. And it's very important from which he's going to come at in this angle. So I want you guys to just stand by and listen. If you guys are listening in from your computer, call us at 213-559-2995. Again, it's 213-559-2995. Press the number one. That allow us to know that you want to speak. It'll highlight your number and bring you to the top. If you are listening in by phone or by any other device, make sure you go to visit us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/hiphopnationalradio. I have DJ Big O. I have Rod and his son, DJ AT, who have joined us, and PAT. Have joined in to this to the discussion of the topic. Anybody else, just all like I say, press the number one and call in at 213-559-2995. DJ Big O, I need you to break it down to me today. What was your big break in getting into this industry?
I hate to say it, but it was an injury. I grew up in the 80s. I was a b-boy, a break dancer. And I was in a dance competition. We was trying to go from Louisville, Kentucky to go to the break dancing capital of New York City. And I was doing a windmill, coming out into a flare, hit somebody. My body went a different way, and they thought I broke my neck. And they told me I could never break dance again. So, you know, and I was young. I was 13 in 1983. I was losing my mind because, you know, I was part of this breakdance movement, this culture, this new thing we call hip hop. And now I just got hurt and I couldn't do anything. And I was lost. And I would go on the road. I couldn't dance. And one day I was at a skating rink, and our manager that was managing the group was our DJ at the skating rink. So, you know, we do our little battles where I couldn't dance no more. So he'd tell me to come up there, and he started showing me how to DJ. And that's how I pretty much got started. You know, I picked up on it real quick because I wanted to be part of a movement, you know, so I could still be part of the b-boy movement that we call hip-hop. You know, instead of being in the streets fighting, we was battling and breakdancing, you know, and I couldn't do that no more. And I started getting into DJ battles, and one thing led to another. I won a DJ contest. I got to open up for this brand new label that was starting called Def Jam Records. They had LL Cool J, Run DMC, let me see, the Fat Boys, Houdini, Biz Markie, Dougie Fresh, all of them was out there. you know, and they say, hey, we like what you do. I'm a little 13-14-year-old kid. We're like, really? And one thing led to another. They say, hey, we want to talk to your parents. We want to know if you want to go on the road with us. I'm like, okay, and do what? You can be a roadie. What is a roadie? You're going to help us set up the stage equipment. Jam Master Jay, the late Jason Mazzell from Run DMC, was like, you can help me carry my records, and I can teach you the art form of DJing more. And I was like, cool. And that's how I got started. One thing led to another. I met this guy. He was a backup dancer for Houdini. His name is Jermaine Dupri. You know, we used to go at it all the time. We ride the same bus arguing with each other. You know, and I didn't know who his father was. His father is a real influential person still in the industry. But, you know, long story short is I had an accident. I was able to find a different avenue so I can get out here, and that's what I've been doing. I can't rap. I can't sing. I wish I could, but I learned the industry from the inside out by working it, the grassroots, hands-on, being a sound engineer, doing sound checks, carrying record crates, asking questions, standing backstage, listening to people negotiate contracts, watching how money exchanged hands. It just it opened my eyes. I'm like, you never knew this stuff would go on when you hear a record at home or an 8-track or a cassette, you know, but it was a lot of shuffling going on behind the show, and it just opened me up to a lot of things. I got into radio, started interning in Louisville, and worked my way, got in the military, worked radio for 17 years. I've been in this industry now for 30 years, been a tour DJ. That's pretty much it. Hello?
Porik?
Hello?
Am I there?
I'm here. Big O here.
It looks like Poeg dropped off.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, my.
Yo, PAT, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
DJ Big O is here.
All right. Daylight here. I ain't dropping at it yet, but, no, we here.
But, yeah, gentlemen, pretty much that in a nutshell is how I really got my start. And, you know, I work for the biggest radio network in the world, Armed Forces Radio Network, AFN, where we broadcast in over 118 countries around the world. And, you know, of course, I was in the military, so I was able to travel around the world on top of touring with the USO and a lot of these other organizations, you know, like I said. Run DMC introduced me to Aerosmith when they did that collaboration of Walk This Way. And, you know, and a couple of summers until I was old enough to get out on my own after I finished school. Yeah, I went into the military, and I just continued the transition of learning because I love this thing we call music. It wasn't just really hip-hop, you know, because I wasn't a strong hip-hop DJ. You know, my idols was, of course, Jam Master Jay, Red Alert, Kool Herc, and all these pioneers and legends, you know, but I was still learning. Even once I got into radio, my forte was R&B music for the longest, until the 90s, you know. And then this lady came along by the name of Wendy Day, Miss Rap Coalition. And, you know, one thing led to another, and here comes this group. I was working radio in Louisiana in Lake Charles, you know. And one thing, hey, man, you heard about these guys called No Limit? I was laughing. I'm like, yeah, I heard about them because 90% of their producers came out of Mobile, Alabama. What about them? Well, they about to pop off. And
wow.
I was like, oh, okay. You know, and they sent me the track. I was DJing over there at a little club called Night Train over there by the university and stuff. And the No Limit movement was born.
Wow. See, the people, I'm going to tell you like this. A lot of artists don't know that when preparedness meet opportunity, because see, you were prepared for one thing in your lifetime, and you, but they saw that you was rhythmatic. They knew that you had you could you can keep the beat, and somebody groomed you. but it was where preparedness meet opportunity. It was like you were severed from one thing, but you got attached to another because you was in the right place at the right time. That's what
it
sounds like.
I was hungry. Yeah, exactly. I was hungry. I want to learn, and I want to be a part of something good because, you know, I got tired of seeing people getting stabbed. We wasn't shooting in the 80s. We were stabbing and fighting. So, you know, it wasn't no really shooting going on. But I wanted that to stop, and that's the breakdancing. We was battling people that we had issues with. We had beefs with, but we did it in the form of dancing, and it was the form of artwork, what we call the B-boy movement, you know, the breakdancing, the whole culture of hip-hop. When every news organization said that hip-hop is not going to be around, this is a fad, it's going to be here for 5 or 10 years. Well, I've been around it for 30 years. I'm 43. So it's been around longer than I've been around. So it is what it is, you know. I mean, a lot of people don't know. The first rapper that ever, the real first rapper that ever was Muhammad Ali. A lot of people don't realize.
Well, actually, he put it down now. That's the truth.
You're right.
But he wasn't,
Sugar Hill Gang and all this, but, you know, I tell people it was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, he was quite rhythmatic. He was actually, I would say he was more like a spoken word poet more than he was a rapper. All right, but in introduction wise, he was kind of, you know, laying that format as you look back on it. And, you know, you got to give a man credit where credit is due. He did put it out there like that. I don't know if you guys know that my mic was interrupted for the last 5 minutes. So
yeah, we found out.
Okay, you figured that out. Okay, I was thanking God that when I came back to it, you were still talking, but I'm just letting you guys know. Totally got disconnected. So I open up everybody's line so y'all can communicate. I'm going to go to Dr. AT. Dr. AT, what's your thoughts on DJ Big O entry into breaking into this music industry?
He hit it right on the spot. He got in pretty much by accident. He didn't think that he was supposed to be breakdancing. That was his main goal. And then he got injured.
But can I ask you something, Dr. AT? Would you say it was by accident or was it by fate? To me, he was already in the lane of dealing with the big league people because he got himself in the right circle at the right time. And he was doing something. I would say he was more prepared. Maybe the DJing came in by accident, by influence, I would say, by influence more than accident, because it was not necessarily that he was prepared to do what he's end up doing because he had the right opportunity at the right time. That's just my opinion, but you go ahead. Give me your thoughts.
I believe that's true, that it was faith and it was God's plans for him to be at that skating rink at that time, to hear the music the DJ was playing and influence him to be a DJ and meet all these different people from the different industries and go on tour with them and meet other people who later on in life became the next producer, the next one we hear on the radio. And so, and listen to him and hear him say that, I'm like, wow, you know, wow, it was in God's plans for him to.
We got to ask you this, though. How does it make you feel? I mean, knowing, don't get me wrong, a man who wore an honorable badge as he's been wearing to allow, you know, to get in and try to open doors for the youth, the young people coming up today. How does that make you feel as an artist?
It makes me feel wonderful that somebody else who has their hands in different things and different opportunities can go and help other people on those same fields that he was once doing. So he still has experience in what he was doing, once doing, that he hasn't lost what he was doing in the beginning.
Okay. I'm going to open up PAT. PAT, you got the floor, sir. What's your thought?
Yes, sir. Man, I'm like
salute, hats off, and thank you. Like, that's my thoughts, like, right out of the gate. I heard he say Louisiana about a couple of times, and Lake Charles, and right there down the street, and it's like the same thing that happens to a lot of extremely successful people in the business because of the fact that it's not necessarily about, like, where you at or where you're going to be or where you see yourself being or something like that. It's about, like, usually the present moment in time. Like, it's been a lot of times in my life, basically, that what's been happening is just, like, you meet a lot of different people just by putting yourself out there, like, just by opening your mouth, just by asking questions.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that for a second, because from what I hear and understand about you, you got some exciting things going on about yourself and happening right now. Out of your experience, from what you've gone through, getting into trying to get in from where you're at, and all of us start somewhere, guys. So
right.
we don't all start and just get at the top and start running. In some cases, it happens. Even this guy, DJ Big O, I can tell you, he can tell you this. He didn't start right at the top. He started breakdancing, and then he had opportunity, and after opportunity, and then those things happened. But prior to that, believe me, he was on the streets grinding.
Yeah, definitely.
Am I right? DJ Big O, can you say that to me?
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, I was a little knucklehead. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, 80s is what it was. You know, I mean, you know, it was the crack era, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm just fortunate enough to have certain things fall in my favor with a lot of misfortunes that I went through.
Yeah, yeah. Now, PAT, let's go to you for a second. Let's just find out something. Some of the dudes that you've seen that you should be doing, well, let's just say some of the things that you shouldn't be doing, the don'ts. What can you say that you don't want another artist to do? What have you experienced since you've been driving this car?
Wow. There's so many don'ts out there. And the funny thing about it is, like, I think I'm pretty sure DJ O, Big O had touched on it, like he was saying, don't just feel like you, like everybody is definitely going to feel like you're the hottest and you got to feel like you got to have that confidence about yourself. But at the same time, you're not going to be, but just don't be disrespectful to a point of your actual, the way you think about yourself or your actual aura whenever you approach somebody. Don't think that you just could be disrespectful to anybody because you never know who that person is. It could be an artist. It could be an executive. It could be a DJ. Anybody you meet, no matter who it is, no matter where it's at, like you always carry yourself in a certain manner. And as far as don'ts go, I would say just don't carry yourself too arrogantly because, like, it slaps a lot of people in the face. Like, I see it happen.
I got
man,
to say this,
so
man. You don't realize it, but you just said that.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.
You just said it, so I'm going to help you say it again. As far as the do is, because you did tell us the don't. So give me your do's. Give me a
okay.
do.
Okay. The do's is definitely easy because it's persistence. It's work. It's if you love what you're doing, you're going to be happy about it. You're going to be excited about it. You're going to want to get out there. You're going to want to be in everybody's presence as much as possible. So basically it's like, don't give up. Like, just be yourself. Be receptive to anything somebody got to tell you. Be receptive to words that's coming from all your peers. And don't stop. Like, just don't stop. A lot of the times I get, like, flack about me actually putting myself out there too much, and I don't understand that because, like, how you can put yourself out there too much, especially if you're doing something you love, you're not going to ever stop painting if you love to paint. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about that. It depends.
Okay.
Okay. And we're going to do that right after the break because we're right up, button up against that half hour. You know, I try to function this show most of the time, guys, like we it should function. So y'all listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We're supposed to be on the clock, so I got to keep to the clock. The do's and the don'ts when breaking into the music industry, we have changed the topic because it just makes sense. The do's and the don'ts when breaking into the music industry, we are discussing that tonight. My guest online with me right now talking deep into the topic, we got DJ Big O, we got Raw Dog, and Dr. AT. P-A-T, and it seems like one of my compadres just joined me, and I don't know if he's ready to talk, which is my boy Gio. So if you are ready to talk, just press the number one. It'll bring your name up at the top, and we can go from there. Anyway, thank you, guys. Like I said, we're listening to Hip Hop National. Y'all stay with us. We'll be back in just a second.
This is Honey Jacks, reminding you for the best tips and advice on the music business, tune in to HipHopNationalRadio.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 5 p.m. on the West Coast.
Hip-Hop National Radio presents KO with their smash single, Cry Wolf, Cry Wolf. Photoshop. Original. Cry Wolf, Mean Girls, Photoshop, Original, all hot songs from KO. To hear more from KO, that's KAYO, visit online at KOBlowKisses.com. It's a one-stop shop to get all the hits and info from KO. KO, Cry Wolf, a Hip Hop National Radio exclusive.
Hip Hop National is now hiring interns and salespeople. Call us today at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555 for more details.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotions? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
All right, guys, tonight we're talking about the do's and don'ts when breaking into the music industry. My guest tonight is DJ Big O. We got Raw Dog, Dr. AT, PAT, and like I said, one of my compadres sitting back in the cut observing, and that's my boy Gio. So definitely, guys, we're talking about a topic that's much, much needed to understand, because when I'm about to break down some of these do's and don'ts, but before we get into it, PAT had said something, and it triggered something to me to ask this question. Yes, promotions is the key to putting yourself out there, and they say it could be too much. Well, I don't think it's never necessarily too much information you put out, as long as you've done the right things beforehand to protect your rights and reserve your rights of what you're doing. Because if you have not, the things that you put out there, you may be putting out too much. I'm going to go to DJ Big O. I need you to go ahead and follow up with what I'm saying.
Well, you hit it right on the head. You know, when I sit down and I talk to people about, hey, I want to put out a song, and I just kind of look at them, I hear somebody playing a song, I'm like, hey, that's a nice song. Hey, you want it? No, I'm good. You know, why not? I'll give it to you. I'm like, no, I'd rather pay for your single because you're going to need this money to keep producing and keep doing what you're doing. And they were like, well, no. I want you to help get it out. If I give it to you, you'll promote it. No, because I deal with radio. I'm a radio person. I'm not an ordinary club DJ now. You know, I haven't been a club DJ since 07. So you have to make sure that you register as an artist, whether it be BMI, ASCAP, CSAP, whatever, U.S. copyright. You got to protect your brand. You got to make sure you got your publishing set up so you can get your royalties, because everything is digital. If y'all remember a couple of years ago, you know, the big, at the time, the industry went out and was taking, I don't know what the LimeWire and them to court for all these free digital downloads and everything. Mm-hmm. And then there was this new company that came along called Apple, and they set up a thing called iTunes. So you're still downloading, but now you're making money. You're getting digital royalties and everything like that. In order to get your mechanical royalties, you got to be protected. The only way to get protected is to invest in yourself by doing the simple things. Ask a BMI, CSAP, or definitely U.S. copyright, because that way you show ownership. Because if you put out a song and you say, I'm just throwing it out there for a filler, I know a lot of major industry artists right now that have one hot single and they're done. And they're waiting. They're shopping. They're like sharks. They're waiting. They're like, oh, this song is hot. I'm going to put my spin on it. Let's find out who the artist is. Oh, this song's not registered. I'm going to own it. I got some money. I can put money behind it. Chart that thing on Billboard. Next thing you know, you just got raped. They just took your stuff. And it's out there. All of a sudden, somebody calls, hey, man, I heard your song with Soulja Boy or somebody, or Lil Wayne. I'm like, what? What you mean? How ironic is that? Well, what it is you never took time out to do the free things, to invest into yourself, to protect yourself so you can show ownership and get the mechanical royalties that is yours.
Thank you very much, sir. It's better coming from someone else than it come from me. I really appreciate that. Do we have Raw Dog or we have Dr. AT on the line?
Hello?
Dr. AT.
Oh, my bad, Poetic. Can you repeat what you were saying?
Nope, I'm going to move to the next guy, and then I'm going to let you piggyback
on
that.
Actually, I caught what he was saying about promoting himself, and that is true. It takes money to make money. And, yes, you do need to go to the club DJs, and yes, you do need to go and find radio DJs as well. And also, it is true, you do need to copyright your material, because without that copyright, you know, a lot of DJs and a lot of radio stations are not going to pick you up and play you because you don't have that. Because how are they going to know you didn't take that from another artist somewhere else? And then, you know, Catch 22, they're caught up into a legal situation, and it's all going to fall back on you. Hey, my dad's here, so he wants to talk to you.
Raw Dog, bring it on. Raw Dog, introduce yourself, sir.
Hey, guy, how you doing? Sorry about that, but, you know, sometimes business out here in the world, you know. Now, I heard the portion about self-promoting and what have you and getting out to the DJs. Well, you know, the funny part about this is there's networks. And, okay, the young folks think that, you know, that it's a lot of groundwork. Well, okay, yes and no. It's you're going to have a product that's going to have some type of seal by people that are already established in the industry, such as yourself. You know, you look at it and you say, okay, you can make this, you can do it the hard way. Or you can do it the hard way, okay? And by that, what I mean is this. You know, breaking out here with a product, you're going to have more than inside of the box to give some certification to that product that it has some worthiness, some credibility. Now, you know, so what you've got to do is you've got to go through a cycle of those that are in control that have some power to then reach out into the public so that the public can hear that product. Such as you were talking about, you know, playing music on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That in itself is an outlet that would be better than going to the DJs. That would be better because your shows actually are archived. So which means that you would have, that artist would have the ability to pass on where they were actually aired for the public. You know, the funny part about this whole thing is that, yeah, okay, things have changed to how the young artists can get their work out to the public. You know, DJs now on the web, and you know a lot of them, you know, that you, by word of mouth, or, hey, the power that you have in submitting something to them and saying, hey, guess what? I'm finding that, you know, the feedback on this is really good, and I'm giving it to you for you to put it out there further and be one of the first to be able to say, hey, this is part of what I'm doing and in displaying music. You know, the DJs want to be the ones carrying the message to the people on something new and fresh. Okay, an outlet like yours, a jump from there to the DJs, you have different radio stations that you're affiliated with, that, you know, that certification. See, a lot of artists, you know, they're inside of the box. They're trying to promote something that really doesn't fit the industry standards. The content hasn't been thought of well enough to understand what markets or places that they can play it for the public, you know.
Okay.
And this is part of the issue that the young artists are finding in getting their music out. There's so much, pardon expression, crap, that, you know, they don't realize the public is actually burnt out on uncertified new artists' music. It's either ego, you know, and what I mean by that, they're claiming to be the best at what they do, but then they have no idea that the product that they have is not the avenue or the content that the music industry is looking for anymore. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you are on the A list of artists and you have a name out there and you've had platinum and what have you, maybe they will accept something like that. But, you know, someone new in this whole thing, you have no rep, you have no credibility. You know, they don't know where you've been because they're just starting out. So you don't have that profile of exactly all the fans or what have you that the industry is going to relate you as being an up-and-coming artist. You know, they need outlets like yours.
Thank you for that, Raw Dog. Go ahead,
hey,
DJ Big O.
This DJ Big O. I understand what you're saying, but for a minute, you went from being an established artist on what some of the things you were talking about. In order to build your reputation and a track record, you have to, number one, is you have to protect yourself. Number two, you still, even though you have all these digital and media outlets, these social networks, you still have to get out here and literally politic. What I mean by that is, you got to get out here and shake hands and get on the road and travel. That's why these lot of cities have open mics. This is how you build your fan base. This is how you build credibility, because a lot of the people that host these open mics are actually either radio personalities or DJs that have connections to one avenue or many other avenues. This is how you solidify your track record as being that new artist. If when they see, for instance, I'm going to use, for example, I work with somebody, I really don't care for him, but it was business, but it's Chief Keef. The kid never got out of the house. He was on house arrest. But at the end of the day, they called me to Chicago. I sat down, and I gave him a POA. It's a plan of action. And they followed it to the T. They wanted to get out there, and they wanted to saturate a market. They saturated Chicago. They hit every high school in Chicago. They forced the radio and the club to play because everybody was continuously on the phone because they started moving. The kid never did an open mic. He never performed anywhere because he was on house arrest. So, but this is how you build a movement. You have to start somewhere. You have to have a solidify your team and give everybody a direction of who has what job to do, who's in charge of production, who's in charge of getting the PR out here, getting the flyers, the pluggers, whatever you want to call, and getting out here and moving. I'm a house arrest. I can't go nowhere. I'm the artist. So I got to depend on my team. And you don't need 1,000 people. You can do it with 5 people. He had 5 people, and look where he got now. He got an Interscope Universal major situation going. And he never got out once and performed because he was on house arrest. The city of Chicago said, we're not letting him out, go out there because they knew there was going to be some retaliation, retribution of what he was doing. But he didn't let that stop him. When they called, they said, we need somebody that can get my music out there. Nobody understood what drill music was. A lot of people still don't. But at the end of the day, he started a movement. He had no reputation other than a bad reputation. He had no credibility other than bad credibility. But he was able to start a movement, a trend, a fad, and the kids, the city, got behind him. It started at one high school. It went to 20-something high schools in the Chicagoland area. They called the 2 radio stations and worked every college network station in the Chicagoland market, and look at them now. That is how you build, solidify, and get yourself some credibility. Now, people in New York didn't know who he was, but the blogs knew who he was because they used social media as well as what we call guerrilla tactic, getting out and handshaking, politicking, putting pluggers on. When you come out of a club, how many times have you seen somebody throw a plugger on your windshield or on your driver's side door before you throw it down because you're mad they put it all over your car? You tend to look at it. You might like what you see, and that's what they did, and it worked.
Wow. Let's bring P.A.T. P.A.T., what you out there doing, man? You doing any of those things, the nuts and bolts of what he just put out there? P.A.T., you with us? Maybe I'm not with y'all. Y'all hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. You got the floor, Rondo.
Got a question. What was that artist's name that he was
speaking
of?
Chief
Keef. All right, I'm in Washington State. Never heard of him.
Right,
exactly.
I understand
what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But, now, you know, the funny part about this whole thing is that, you know, fan base, location, nowadays, and I'm going to say this to you, I hear the momentum of his city, you know, embracing his talent and him moving forward. I'm all for that, okay? But just like I say, I'm on the other side of the country. I'm up here in Washington State. When you mentioned him, I got a few people in the room, and I went, okay, do you guys know who he's speaking of? And they had never heard.
I hear what you're saying.
The thing about this industry, there are so many
artists. No, it's a great thing about the internet
artists.
Because you can Google that person's name and you're going to find who he was.
Okay, but see, this is what I'm saying. There are so many artists,
yeah.
And the funny part about it is that the industry can hold that many artists. You know, it's not just zoned for just one individual to be recognized and to move forward, okay? And the funny part about that is that, you know, when we start talking and we start talking to the young people, well, okay, now, you know, I heard the thing about coming out of the clubs and you know, putting things on people's cars and what have you, and that's a good way of getting the name out there, you know. But in the same point too, I've seen other tactics used in getting the momentum of the artist, and you know, we're talking worldwide, and the people around you are going, you know, to me, I've always found they're the last ones to realize how much talent that a person in the room has. It usually comes from the outside further, and when it comes back, they go, man, I didn't realize that you were that talented. You know, so in dealing with trying to, as a new artist getting out there, you know, and everybody's not club-based, but yet they might be musically talented in the hip-hop or, you know, even musicians. You know, that product is what they're going to be getting into and making their money out of, other than, you know, doing live shows, if they choose to do that. You know, but then when you talk about labels and getting you know, through labels and what have you, and you say he's a hip-hop artist, you didn't say he was a musician. And when we start talking about contracts and them making money, you got to realize, too, that most of the labels, if they have to put the package together, that's the music, that's supplying the studio, that's doing the work. Yeah, okay, the gentleman's got a job. But as far as, you know, going the distance, if you had the package together before you went to the studio, the majority of the money then that the studio might invest in an artist is going out and promoting that artist all over the country. See, because just like I said, and I'm not saying that the gentleman isn't got a following. I'm just saying I'm in Washington State, and we keep our ear to the ground on artists, and we look through all the media, billboard, and all of those things, and you know, just we had never heard of him. And
hey, can
you
I
know,
ask some DJ,
that's
kind of
hard. Yeah, that's kind of hard. If you're telling me you're looking at billboard, then I don't know how you're not seeing it when he's done chart a billboard in the top 10 with Kanye.
Now, when you say Keith, you're saying K-E-E-F, right? Chief Keith.
Chief Keith.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's built
momentum out there, Raw Dog. Believe me.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
no. You know what?
You got to understand Chief Keith.
I've seen Chief Keith. Okay. I thought you said PC.
No, sir.
No.
Chief Keith.
I've seen that name.
Right. Well, you know, when you're telling me you're out there and then you tell me you're reading billboard, I'm like, I don't know what you're not reading, because the radio in Seattle, in Tacoma area, has been playing it. I know because I deal with the radio people up there. So that's what I didn't understand when you sat there and said you didn't know. And it's not about just the flyer on the car. You know, you wasn't on the phone earlier when I actually sat there and said the way to introduce yourself to the world is the press release, 250 words or less, okay, to get yourself on the wire services so people are aware of you. So once your name starts bubbling, whether you get a deal or not, Chief Keef have to have the biggest engine behind him, Interscope Universal. It's Jimmy Iovine. So, you know, you being out there in the Northwest, you know, believe you me,
I think he just misunderstood you more than he. He just misunderstood. Let me open up the line to some other callers, and invite other ones in as well. If you're listening in from your any device out there, you're listening in from our website, call in at 213-559-2995. Again, it's 213-559-2995. If you'd like to, you have a question or comment that you'd like to make towards tonight's topic. I'm going to open up 347-362. You please go ahead, state your name. I see that you raise your hand. 347-362, going once, going twice. I don't know. I think it's the same area code as PAT. PAT, this you?
Yo.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Here we go. Yeah, it's daylight, okay. Man. I was on the phone trying to get PAT back. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, so we're working on that now. But, yeah, then this is Daylight Man from New York City. You know what I mean? I'm also an artist. You know what I mean? Just came back off of a month tour or whatever. We were hitting all the colleges in South Florida. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay,
how important
was it in saturating it with flyers out there to get your name out there, to promote the band, get that publicity out there to the public? How important was it?
I mean, it's definitely important, whatever, especially when trying to not only be an artist but establishing a brand or whatever and building equity within that brand. You know what I mean? Like having a image that's recognizable, you know what I mean, everywhere, you know, you go. So, I mean, I would say that was a big part of what happened. Like, I can honestly tell you, I ended up with another suitcase full of flyers, business cards, CDs, you name it. You know what I mean? Because that networking is definitely a thing. Like, you might look at somebody who gives you a flyer or a business card. You don't know who they're going to be in the next
six
days. I mean, I remember, like, back in 2000, man, I was in the airport. I was in the Miami airport and got a CD, a promo CD or whatever, for a record called Country Grammar. Not knowing that 6 months later, this dude was Nelly, man. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, one of the biggest selling, you know, artists or whatever, like, of that time. You know what I mean? Of our time, period. So, you know, I definitely, you know, just listening or whatever and checking everything that, you know, been said, you know, everybody made a lot of valid points. For me personally, you know, branding was just a big thing. Like, I came up watching, you know, the thing to do was to be independent, you know what I mean, come out of the trunk with it. Like, you know, when I started doing mixtapes, it was really two turntables and a mic. And, you know, that high school thing, like Big O was saying, you know, like that high school, you got to understand that these kids got that disposable income. You know what I mean? They're the ones that are going to buy those records, you know what I mean? And they're not thinking about, man, if I buy this CD, I'm $20 short on the rent. You know what I mean? So once you tap into that market, you know, it's definitely, you know, they the word of mouth, you know what I mean, is the best promotion ever. Like, I know the internet is the thing now, but, I mean, there's nothing like walking into a barbershop or in the middle of the project or whatever, or, you know, to these high schools and college games and all this stuff like that, and actually putting that in their face. You know, because a person could ignore a tweet or a Facebook post. It's kind of hard to ignore something that's in your face. You know what I mean? So you got to avoid both angles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wow. Yeah. I gotta be honest with you, man. You just put a nail in the coffin right there, bro. Because you're right.
I mean, you
can't avoid that. You can't avoid that. So it's good to be out there, just like you said, shaking hands and kissing babies. Because
you running for president. Like, you running for president. You got to, man. I think that's just the thing or whatever. Like, I think people don't, you know, people see the general thing. Like, I remember when I got, like, actually, man, to the home PAT, like, he was the one that actually put me on the social networking thing, because that mixtape game was really, man, like, especially in New York, you know, at that time, it was a real street grind. You know what I mean? Like, you'd, like, dudes were just doing numbers or whatever. Like, I remember you could get $2,500 for a master, you know what I'm saying, just so that they had the right to actually reproduce it in all of these mixtape spots, you know what I mean, like, and just understanding how that system worked. You know, when the internet came, I mean, it was a good thing because it allowed you, you know, like, I felt cross-promotion because of all the politics or whatever, you know what I mean, that were in there, because maybe those budgets back then weren't accessible to, you know, like, to tap into major radio and, you know, things. Because when you're a young kid coming from the streets, like, that, you know, that most, that tenth of thousands of dollars worth of promotion, that ain't easy to, you know, come by. You know what I mean? So, you know, the thing I did that worked for me was just reaching out to these dudes in Louisiana, other artists in Louisiana, in Florida, Atlanta, Cali, you know what I mean? And, you know, working with them because they had a following in their city, I had a following in mine, and, you know what I mean? So in that sense, it just spread, you know, so... And I definitely would ever think that that's, you know, that promotional thing that is a big, you know, thing. And also you have to look outside of music because you have to prepare yourself for what's going to happen once you're in this business. You know, like most of these artists are not getting paid off of, you know, we see how fickle, you know what I mean, the industry is anyway. So they're not getting paid off of, you know, so much of records. You know what I mean? But these shows, these endorsements, you know what I'm saying? So you have to... You know, don't wait.
You
like,
sound
you know,
like you've been around the block there, bro. What's your name, though? I didn't get it.
I'm Daylight, man.
Daylight.
Daylight, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sound like you've been around the block, right, DJ Big O and Rondo?
You know, actually, he hit it right on the head. It's not only about your talents that you can do in front of a crowd of people as far as singing or rapping or playing in a band, but you have to be marketable, like he said. For if I'm a corporate situation, you have all these shows on TV now that even if you get voted off the first week, you got exposed to over 30 to 40 million people. You got a fan base. So what, you got voted off? They know your name now, you know, and that only takes us that one time. And he hit it right on the head. It's your image, the way you look. If you clean cut, you know how to keep your pants up on your butt and get out there. You know, somebody might give you a clothing line endorsement. You know, somebody sees
okay.
you.
And what you just said, I'm going to tell you something. What you said about you got a fan base now. You can do this, but I think what I see.
I got PAT back, y'all. By the way.
No, but you make sure you stay on Daylight too. Both of y'all stay on. So y'all listen. If y'all can call in from different lines, that'd be great. But anyway. You're right. They need to take advantage of that fame. But what I see sometimes is look like some of these people fall off of American Idol or America's Got Talent. I think they give up on themselves, their dream, because they were going for fame instead of going for working at getting that to the top. They were looking for that microwave success. And I see them fall off. What you think, DJ Big O?
Man, you hit that right on the head. For instance, you know, I'd rather be a contestant. Yes, everybody wants to be a winner, but because of the aspect that Daylight just sat there and said, is that image. If you have that image and you can, I mean, just once you make it to live televised American Idol, you already signed a contract, so you're already getting paid. So what, you get voted off because Coca-Cola endorses them and all these people, they're going to have you in a commercial with somebody. You're going to get money because that's who's funding that show, you know. And then if you know you sign to a 2 or 3 year whatever thing they got going on, but this is how they get you out there. But you can do that as an indie artist by doing something simple. If you like Gatorade and you out here get you doing a show, somebody taking pictures of you with the cell phones and everything like that. When I go on the road and do tours, I tell everybody in the audience, get your cell phone out. Everybody got smartphones, and video record this show and put it on your personal YouTube. I'm plugging an artist, whether I'm working with that one artist or it's a whole gang of artists.
I'm gonna tell you like this, and I agree with you. Y'all get on your Twitter and y'all Facebook and put it out there. We on the air right now. Get your cell phone out there. I like that clothes. That was great, DJ Big O.
It works. You'd be surprised. You know, sometimes, you know, me as a DJ, when I'm there, I don't need to brand myself. I'm good, you know. But if I can help the next person, it's cool because I want you to see the bigger picture. It's more to it than you just performing. You can sell your image the way you look. Somebody might like take a good picture of you. A lot of people don't know Instagram is owned by Facebook. So every picture you put on Instagram, if it's a good shot with you holding Gatorade, next thing you know, you ride down a highway in a different state, and you're on tour, and you look up, and you see your picture on a billboard holding Gatorade. And you're like, damn, I got an endorsement. No, you don't, because you didn't read the fine contract on the social media network that Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, has the right to sell your pictures to any corporation. and you took a good picture or somebody took a good picture of you. So I tell people, hey, you can do that and get you that money, but don't put it on Instagram. Unfortunately, that's the thing that's in right now, you know, but you, it's that image, that look. Man, that was a good picture Daylight done took. Man, look at him. Man, he's sweating. He's drinking the Gatorade like he's an athlete. Man, that's a money shot. This is how the advertisers and the promoters look at you. You're a brand, not just an artist, but it'll help you as an artist because you get a little investment. I'm going to tell you, 1986, we was on the road. We was in Louisville Garden. Run-DMC and L. Smith, and we did
DJ, just for a second. I need to do some housekeeping, guys. Y'all do me a favor. Put your phones on mute if you're not being spoke to, because we're hearing your coughing. We're hearing everything. Only reason why I leave your line open, and I could turn it off, but I want you to engage in the conversation instead of me just orchestrate the conversation to just total control. I could control it. I just want you guys to help me out. This way, we won't step on each other's toes, and noise interference won't be there. Big DJ Big O, you do have the floor in just a second. Let me go ahead and cut to a commercial, my man.
All right.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. The do's and don'ts when breaking into the music industry. So that's what we're talking about tonight. And if this thing is not gonna play. I'd rather keep these lines open, guys, and I'm going to tell you the truth. My computer looked like it wanted to play a game with me. I'll just put out a verbal commercial. Guys, we are in the business of helping you make music and make money. We're teaching you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. We are a marketing firm to help you create a professional portfolio to present in front of the music industry insiders. That's what we do here at Hip Hop National. We welcome y'all to come in and be a part of the topic. If you're out there listening in La La Land, man, get active and get active and get engaged in this conversation. It's important to you, especially if you're trying to make it as an artist in this industry. DJ Big O, you have the floor.
Sir.
I didn't want to close the mic because I saw that this thing was playing games with me. It ain't going to play games with me tonight. So you don't have
okay. All right. But like I was saying, Daylight, in 1986, I was 16 years old, and I got my first taste of Brandon in Louisville, Kentucky at the Louisville Gardens with Run-DMC and Aerosmith. They did a song called Walk This Way in My Adidas. And you know, next thing you know, everybody already heard the song on AM radio, you know. But we didn't have an FM market in the city at the time. And Run sits there and tells Jam Master Jay, cut it. And he turns around, look at the crowd. He said, everybody that got on a pair of Adidas, hold them up. And they held them up. Every city we went to, from Louisville back to New York City and Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's marketing, brother. Not only marketing, but branding, straight up. You still with me, DJ Big O?
I had him cut out.
Yeah, I thought it was me. DJ Big O, if you're still with us, we can't hear you. So you might want to check in and check out, but check back in. Don't we need you here right now, brother. I really like where you're coming at out from this. Raw Dog, hadn't heard from you for a minute. Speak up to me. Talk to me.
Well, you know, okay, I keep hearing everybody hitting on the same thing about the artist and, you know, getting out there. But you got to realize the product is still the point of what is going to bring the revenue to the artist. You know, the guy said, okay, hey, everybody take out your camera and take a picture and put it on Twitter. Great. That's a product. They recorded it. Generally, why people fall off of out of the entertainment side of it trying to do something is because they don't have an outlet to go to, a producer or somebody that's hungry that wants to work with artists, that you is willing to develop the artist. You know, we think about it, but there's so many talented people that, you know, they're not searching, or there actually isn't any place for them to search, to find a producer that's willing to do something with them. You know, but if you can take a video of a concert or someone, you know, that's doing their showing their talent, and you can put it on Twitter, well, okay, that is a recording. You know, that came to a point that everyone can afford to have that tool so that they can produce a product. You know, the funny part about it is that it all goes back to the product and getting and how they are going to be able to develop themselves so that, you know, that chance that they get and their skills, that they have a product that you will get to the outside world. You know, I mean, the open mic and what have you, if people are videoing that and what have you, that you know, that's a recording. You know, it depends upon the quality of the sound that, you know, gives the people that hear it, you know, a point of finding good flavor in it, you know, and that can launch a career. But you got to remember, that's a product. That's something that someone can play over and over and over and listen to the talents, you know. And I think that's the point that I find missing out of this whole thing is that the artist having the desire, and you say those that quit and what have you, okay, the level to which they can produce the product may be unsatisfying to the industry. And rather than them trying to or not having the money to invest in a more quality product, you know, because of the cost of it, yeah, they'll give up on that side of it because it just seems like a hard, long road. And the prices that the established producers are going to charge them to do the recording and the engineering and what have you, you know, it doesn't give the new artist a chance unless someone that's got a label is going to invest in that artist. And then, you know, there's the backside of that. You know, and that backside of that is that, you know, we talk about the contracts that the new artist, that the industry wants them to sign, you know. And the funny part about this is that, you know, I don't look at the whole industry, and when we talk on this show, because of the fact we're trying to encourage and develop the young people in understanding the business and staying in the business and developing their talents and understanding how and what to look for in getting their talents to a product, you know. And I can appreciate, you know, the point, but what about the young ones that are wanting to get out there? How and what should they really look for in developing a product to market? You know, that's the funny part about this, and I want, you know, those that have helped other young people get out there, explain to them how they get that first product, that first product that launches some type of base for them to call themselves an artist, and then what and how they should conduct any income coming back in investing it into themselves to achieve a higher level and rise in this game.
Righto. I got a question.
Yeah.
What is your bars like on your phone? You coming in, we clearly understand what you're saying. I do, at least. But what I'm hearing is, and it may not be your phone, it just may be the bandwidth on Blog Talk tonight that's causing it to stagger. The call is staggering the whole time. Did you guys pick that up? But I think I also heard it on PAT, so I don't think it might be your phone.
Well, I'm talking
DJ
on a landline.
You're talking on a landline.
Cell.
Yeah. How about you, DJ Big O? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard what he's saying. It was choppy. Yeah, it sounded like he was in a storm or something.
Yeah. Because you're coming
okay.
through clear.
Yeah, I heard it.
And
okay,
now
everybody
coming.
Else is choppy to me.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys know. I'm gonna let you know. One phone can cause this. So DJ Big O have already hung up. If one of you guys, do me a favor, I'm going to go to DJ Big O to come follow up behind what you just said. I need you, Raw Dog, and DJ, I'm going to say Daylight, and PAT, I need you guys to call back in because it's one of our lines that's causing this to happen. Am I staggering too as I'm talking to you guys?
No,
okay. You're clear.
All right, so I'm telling you, Blog Talk explained this to me one day, that one of the lines can cause it.
All right.
Okay?
All right, so we have to come back in.
Okay, I appreciate that. DJ Big O.
Yes, sir.
Based on what you just heard from Raw Dog. In fact, let me bring in another caller real quick, and then because he was listening too, I'm gonna let him introduce himself. Gio.
All right.
Welcome to Hip Hop National, and welcome to Hip Hop National tonight. Are you there? You got two lines open, Gio. I see one. Gio. You must have called in twice, so you're on two lines. Anyway, go ahead, and I'm gonna hang that one up for you.
Okay.
DJ. Okay. I'm gonna say, Gio, you now have the floor. Please tell our audience where you're calling in from.
This is Gio coming from Memphis.
You're really coming in choppy.
Yeah, he's choppy like for real. Wow.
That's for real. Okay. All right. We may have found what's causing it.
Wow.
Because you're clear, DJ Big O. You're real clear.
Yeah,
and you said I am too, so it had to be that line. And it'll pull on the whole line from what I understand from Blog Talk. So anyway, I hope those guys call back in. We were having a great discussion, but you know, I think that most people miss the boat in one area, and I always believe that the marketing and the promotions play a major key to the success of their project. And then beyond the marketing and promotions, there's the sales and the sales techniques in which the product must move. Because without sales, no money is coming in. And, you know, so it's definitely. Gio, I'm going to open your floor. I kid you not, oh, Gio. It is your line. It is your line, Carl. It's your line that's doing it.
Okay, you got a Sprint phone, Transformer.
Wow. Dude, you majorly. We don't even. I couldn't make out what you were saying. And you know I want you on here, but man, don't be killing my line.
He know I want him on there.
Raw Dog, you there?
Yeah,
Raw Dog.
Got a question. I have heard no do's and don'ts on breaking into the music industry. You know, I still want to know what the do's are and the don'ts are.
Well, actually, we was talking about the do's.
The new guy that might have a product, how does he break in to the music industry?
All right, DJ Big O, I'm sure you can answer that question for him.
Well, what I'm finding very effective this day and age versus 30 years ago is you have these forums that you touched on, Rudolph, which was open mics, and you happen to have a product where you can start trying to build yourself a small fan base you say one of the key things, though, sometimes at home people don't realize the talent you have. So I tell people, work away from your city and work your way back into your city. And that's just by getting out here on the road, traveling, networking. And, you know, the dude thing is, before you get on the road, though, just because you go to an open mic, nobody knows who you are. Do a press release. That is a must do. You know, you can do it simple by using a blog if you can't pay a PR service to get you out there. Or, you know, you can call into the station and they can put you out there. You know, either or. But at the end of the day, that's a big do. 250 words or less, high-resolution picture, and introduce yourself. Like, hello, I'm Raw Dog, and I'm up here out of the Seattle area in the Northwest and stuff. And, you know, and I do this. I'm a producer. I'm an artist. And kind of introduce yourself. Give us something to look at you for. So if I'm working the radio and I read my PR wire service and I sit there and see something that strikes my eye, the way you pitch and sell yourself in 250 words or less and see a high-res image, I'm going to call your publicist or you, if you don't have a publicist, and I'm going to inquire to try to get you on the phone for a radio interview and want to know, what kind of music do you do, Raw Dog? Are you an artist? Are you an entertainer? Are you a producer? I mean, what do you do? So, and this helps me kind of generate, so now I can call the people in my little circle, and I'll start kind of spreading it out a little bit. Are you going to get on the road? I read a press release that they're saying that you're going to come out to the Midwest. I'm in Indianapolis, so if you ever get a chance to come to Indianapolis, even if you don't, if you come to St. Louis, I'll drive to St. Louis because I want to meet you after I talk to you. If you have a good conversation, your conversation piece carries you a long way as well. That's another do, you know, on your mannerism on the phone when you communicating with, because you never know who you're talking to and stuff. So, you know, those are the big do's that we touched on, but you wasn't on the radio when we started off the shows. We all address do's and don'ts.
Okay. All right. But you know what? For those that got on here late, like me.
I don't know what happened here. I don't know what happened to I think it's Blog Talk, guys. It's not us, because not all of us doing this song and dance with the staggering. Y'all hearing it? Because I'm hearing it.
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
All right.
Al. Yes, sir.
I'm glad that he repeated that. Because guess what? I was late, and I'm normally not late to listen to your show. But for those of us that did get on late, you know, that was a very, very good
recap
for them to hear. Because, you know, that in itself was all truth. You know, and I can appreciate exactly what he said, and I agree exactly that is one of the methods in approaching the industry and getting your music out there. And, you know, but he's a real nice guy, okay? Everybody isn't as nice, okay? They're not as
willing.
Well,
we know. One thing I can say, and I respect getting to know this guy here, is he keep it raw and he keeps it real. Some of the things, and honestly, he haven't gave you guys the nuts and bolts that he's given me. But I'll tell you like this, and I can tell you like this, he's a very interesting cat. That's why I thought it was very important to bring him on tonight. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? Now that's, you know, we keep talking about the young people. We keep talking about the station, your position, the people that you know, the people that you know that are willing to take the time to expose new talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that your show has so much to offer the young and the new trying to get out into this industry. That, you know, you started talking about playing music on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You know, now here's a gentleman there.
We'll look at doing that in April, definitely.
Well, yeah, but when they hear a gentleman like the one that explained how to get out into the music industry, they get hope because he gave hope in his whole conversation of how he would handle that. And, you know, at your fingertips, you have associates that you're the vehicle. Yeah, I mean, that's why I like this program because, you know, I feel once the young people become aware that there is a program and someone that they will be able to enter out into this music industry through.
I wish we could fix this sound. I could see it happening. Yeah. I wish we could really fix this sound tonight, guys, but y'all going to have to take it for what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. I don't know who. I blamed one person, but I may be wrong. I can tell you like this. We're not getting a clear reception tonight. But I think it's clear enough to get the important matters of this conversation because it really is important. I think we just lost DJ Big O, and we're gonna bring PAT into the program. PAT, hadn't heard from you for a minute, man. What's your thoughts? Do you feel like you're getting some of the do's and don'ts? Maybe it's just me. Rodo, you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you. You're clear.
Okay. All right. So, anyway, we did lose DJ Big O. It was very good talking with this guy because I can tell y'all like this. He literally have hit the pavement in the industry, and some of the things that he brought to the forefront. He's liked in one area and disliked in another area, but he understands that everybody's not gonna like him, and he has done. He's been on the grind. He's been on the grind, and he's been making things happen for a lot of people in their lives. He's told me straight up he's working with those people who wants to really do something, not those people who just sitting on the sideline and waiting for it to happen.
Right. I can understand that. You know.
So if you go ahead.
Hip hop is funny because you've got two elements to it. You've got the underground and you've got the mainstream. You know, and there's got to be advocates for both sides. I mean, you know, choice is the public's. You know, whether they like underground or they like, you know, the mainstream. You know, so there's a market for both sides, you know. I just think that, you know, at my age and what have you, you know where I stand. I like the mainstream hip-hop just out of the point that, you know, I have children, and I've got relatives that are older than me that, you know, might not appreciate the underground side, but somebody's got to handle it. You know, and yeah,
absolutely.
I don't get mad.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go ahead. I'll bring PAT into the matter. PAT and Daylight, y'all now have the floor. Your mic is now open. I see you raise your hand.
Yeah, what's up, Poetic? Daylight, man. PAT's phone died, so you know what I mean. I gotta hold it down for the team. But you know, one of the biggest things I hear, whatever, is, you know, I mean, I've always been the type of person not to, you know, I tell a lot of kids, like, don't wait. You know, like, I think that a lot of times, whatever, people just so into, like, we don't live in the era of artist development anymore. Like,
yeah.
In the terms of, like,
actually
even,
we do our own, today we're kind of doing our own development.
Yeah. No, true. Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, platforms like this are great, you know what I mean, in an era where it's missing that. I mean,
You think it's great? Do me a favor. Go to hiphopnational.com. Anybody who think it's great, y'all go ahead and donate to the show. That'll show
up. Oh, man, like, that's what it is. Hey, man, like, you know what I mean? Hey, I support what I believe in. You know what I'm saying? So believe that's getting done. Believe that's getting done. You know what I'm saying? ASAP.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I started... Like, I'm 28, you know, I started off writing R&B records, you know what I'm saying, at like 11, 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, like
okay.
really just honing my skills as a songwriter.
Are you a singer as well?
I do my, you know, I got a little something or whatever. Like, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? But, yeah, you know, I mean, just coming from, you know, I came up around the church where I got a lot of aunts and uncles, deacons, pastors, so on and so forth. So, I mean, that was always mm-hmm. just a part of my upbringing or whatever. So, you know, when
you go
to churches,
yeah.
you go to the choir, you know what I mean, point blank. So,
yeah.
you know, but I really started honing my, you know, my skills as a songwriter early. When I started rapping, I mean, the type of rappers who were out, you know what I mean, that was that whole Mos Def, Talib Kweli, that, you know what I mean, that really, it was a really strong lyrical era, you know.
Yeah.
When it kind of transcended and then you started to see the hip-hop and the R&B blend, you know, I think I was privileged because my background starting off writing R&B records, you know what I'm saying, allowed me to find that balance, you know what I'm saying, in that transition. You know, but the thing is that now, you know what I mean, like a lot of times in this industry right now, like, you know what I mean, it's like they're not trying to put you in business, they're trying to get into business with you. So,
yeah.
you know, I always stress the fact, like, I mean, me, myself, whatever I have, like, along with this mixtape I'm about to release called Everything Under the Sun, I also have a drink, you know what I mean, coming out. So, you know what I mean, just things or whatever I'm doing, because I look at it like this, man, like, you don't have to, there's so much information out there, especially with the internet and everything, like, not just social media, but I encourage a lot of people to, you know, look at all these other things that are out there, man. There are a lot of different ways to brand yourself. You know what I mean? Because there are people who probably won't buy your music, but they'll buy your T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll buy your bobblehead doll. They'll buy, you know what I mean, your pens, whatever it is that you, you know, push, whatever coincides with your brand the best. So, you know, I mean, with that, you know, I think the problem is now, like, a lot of artists is getting to this lazy frame of mind, like, well, I'm going to wait till I get a deal, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But, you know, you need to do that now because I think it says a lot when a label or a record company can look at you and just say, like, man, this guy's about business. You know, you feel secure investing your money in somebody who's already invested a great deal in themselves, whether it be time, money, you know what I'm saying, or just blood and sweat. You know, it shows, you know what I mean, when you've actually made that initial, you know, investment. So, you know, that's my view on it or whatever. And also, you know, to not follow the trend like everyone else. Like, lightning never strikes in the same place twice. You understand what I mean? So, like, what worked for one might not work for you. You know what I mean? You could just analyze the blueprint and fit and take from, you know, different, you know, situations or whatever and try to apply it to you. You know what I mean? And you could be that next wave that somebody will look at and say, man, this is how he did it. You know, and...
Well, I got to tell you, man, I'm very impressed with your wisdom and your approach and what you've gained by your observation. Because reality... And I got to ask you this because it's important to me. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 28, man. You know what I mean?
28? 28.
Yeah.
I mean, my man, sound like you've gained a great deal of wisdom of the direction in which you're trying to take this thing. Now, what's your fan base like? You got a wide fan base, a small fan base, or it's a growing fan base. Where are we at?
Definitely growing, man. You know, I went, like I said, I just came in yesterday, whatever. I did a month-long college tour in South Florida. We hit FAU, FIU, Broward, NSU, you know what I mean, and so on. Just did another show in Atlanta, like, right after that. You know, it was amazing to me because I hadn't realized how much it spread. You know, like,
now, I
got to
ask you this from this last weekend. This is from this tour, what you just did, right?
Yeah.
What did you learn from that tour of the things that you should, what could you say yourself that you should have done? Because sometimes it's shoulda, coulda, woulda. And that's one of those things that you don't want to do again or what you should do again, what you do want to do to make it better. What did you learn from that?
I think more you know, more promo, you know, material. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I did what I had to do as far as like the flyers and, you know, things. Like, I mean, I went down by my, you know, like Dolo. So, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a vast team or whatever. I mean, I was pretty much moving around with a bag full of, you know, promo tapes. I mean, so, I mean, I would say probably bring a few extra hands. You know what I mean? Like, that would be the one thing I would say I would do differently.
Now, did you have any radio support while you was on this tour?
You know what? Not, like, I did, like, through the college network, you know what I mean? Like, I built a lot of great relationships while I was out there. I could say that. You know what I mean? The radio support, like, really is probably what you'll see more of come, you know, the second quarter. But this really, you know, just being in a different region, like me being from New York and, you know, going down here and, you know, like everybody from college radio, internet radio, you know what I mean, down to the P1 contacts.
Do you not see that internet radio could really play a major role in what you're trying to do? Because don't get me wrong, my man, we are from all different walks of life right here on this phone.
Yeah. No, I mean, to be honest with you, Poetic, man, you know, me and PAT, you know, like we talk often, you know what I mean? Just, you know, going back and forth, I said, it's more important for me to be on every internet radio station than be on Clear Channel or, you know, anything like that. I think
because they touch more markets at one. It's just the thing it is, Clear Channel got a concentrated market that's in one area. And people are able to lock on by phone. I'm gonna say by the radio when they really dial in. That's a good thing. That's an awesome thing. But platform like this allows you to reach ears from around the country at the same time while you stimulate into your own. Because I can help you. This is why I want to talk to you and PAT. Next time you guys get your budget together, we can probably do something together, make sure we supporting y'all along the way wherever y'all touring at.
Yeah, man, I mean, that would definitely be, you know, great or whatever, man. You know, he's told me some great things, you know what I mean, like about you and your program and everything that, you know, you got going on, man. So I'm definitely open.
Okay.
You know, the online radio thing, man, it just, to me, like I had done some placement, you know, with a couple of rounds, and I had a song called Narco Corridos, which is Spanish for drug ballad, which is, you know, a very big thing in the Mexican culture and everything like that, you know. When that joint played, 40%...
I got to tell you, for me, I can probably direct it to somebody who can help you with that. I don't do anything dealing with that kind of subject.
Oh, But the point I was making was really for the, you know, when it hit, they, you know, like 40% of the hit I was getting on that song were coming from Mexico and Latin America.
Okay.
Where had I just put that on a regular, like, you know, local radio station, you know what I mean, or just a radio station that focused on one region, I would have never, you know what I mean, tapped in to that market. So, you know, that was the point I was making as far as, you know, as far as, like, what the impact, you know what I mean, of the online radio station as opposed to using traditional Clear Channel and, you know, other P1, you know, like, platforms.
Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and turn this audit. I don't know who this is, actually. I'm just open up the line. 757-343. I see that you're... Call in, raise your hand, and that means you want to say something on the topic. You now have the floor. Tell us where you're calling in from, please. 757-343, are you there? Going once, going twice, and your mic is closed. When you're ready, just do yourself a solid. Press the number one now. That way we know you don't want to talk. And then press the number one when you're ready to talk. Rodolph, what's your thoughts, sir?
Well, you know, you know, there's so many different avenues of success in this business that, you know, as I was listening to the gentleman and I was, you know, and yeah, you know, there's the South American market. There's the, you know, down in Mexico and that portion. Yes, there's that market. There's also the European markets. You know, when you look at this music business, I think what you need is that to know that that product is gaining momentum as it reaches out across different areas. You know, and you know the funny part about it is that who guarantees how that product is going to be guided? You know, if you go to a label, okay, their A&R and their promotions department and what have you, they're going to give you a blueprint of how they're going to get the exposure and what markets they're going to saturate with promotional material. But let's just say the guy that's not with the label, how is he going to work that? You know, and I think it starts with people like you. I think it starts through a venue such as yours. I think what happens is that, you know, in just listening to what this program's about and asking for Al, hey, I want to know, if I work with you, what avenues can you present to me for my product or project to go? You know, can you touch the college circuit? Can you touch the mainstream? You know, because, see, guess what? You're the one that quietly and never says, you know, I can make a phone call. You know, I know people over there. You know, but it just, you know, you're so humble. They don't say to you, Al, hey, can I hire you? Will you work for me, with me? You know, I mean, the folks are kind of missing the real deal in front of them and explaining all these other avenues. And I hear you go, yeah, yeah. And then I hear them bring up other people's names and you go, oh, yeah, you're talking about such and such, you know. You have all of these phone numbers, the email addresses. They're at your fingertips, and you're so humble. You don't explain to them, hey, if you want help, talk to me. You know, that's I don't think they hear that. You know, because you see, guess what? In talking to you, I think wanting to talk business with you, you know, there's the catch. They're not looking at and hearing that, you know, I am in business. You know, that you remind me of the guy walking softly with the big stick. Okay, you know, you don't put yourself out there to say, hey, look over here. You know, I can make phone calls. I can do this. You know, because I think that you enjoy and are trying to help people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the one good thing that I see that inspires me. You're willing to help them. And you're not asking them to help you help them, you know, and I think they need to hear. You've got all those numbers. You've got all those emails. You know the A&R people. You've been contacted on your show by A&R people telling you, well, we're looking for different artists to do this and that and the other. Your word and your certification on an artist can get them through the door, and they don't use you. The
they can
vehicle
get them through the door, and they
use
to keep them there.
Well, see, you're the one. I mean, you've got the station, you talk to the DJs.
Got the magazine.
You already understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now the whole problem is that they're not getting the products to you. They're not saying, "Hey, I'm willing to work this avenue." You know, you're not asking to be exclusive, but guess what? What if you see a doorway you can send them through? Why aren't they making you their exclusive manager, the guy that can go, that knows the do's and the don'ts, that can put together a profile, you know, that, hey, that knows industry people. To me, it's like you're looking way over there and you should be looking in your direction. Because guess what? You have the venue, the contacts, and, you know, you've got God on your side. So, you know, I can't speak about the rest of the people in the industry, but those are plus points in my book, you know, because you've been trying to tell them all this time. Look, you know, ask me the right question. If you need help, call me. You even give out your own telephone number. You know, it's just a shame that they don't hear it.
Some people don't. Don't get me wrong, Raw Dog. The truth is, a lot of people will sit down and watch that fill itself up before they decide that they're going to get on the train. But then they'll stand there, and then before they know it, the train is taking off, and then they say, "Hey, wait, I was going to get on there." Not too late.
Yeah, but you know that the last thing, see, they're lucky that I'm not you, because I would guarantee a star coming out of the stables, okay? Whereas you're so humble, and you know that you can flood the market and make the right phone call, and that the door will open for an artist. You're just a nice guy, and you know, I'm here to let them know that in talking to you, not on the air, that all of these avenues are there.
We're gonna talk. Me and you need to talk. That's all I can say. 832-258. I see that you raised your hand. You got. Please tell us who you are and what it is that you're doing. What you want to contribute to the topic?
Man, what's going on, man? It's me, Pusha Lee, man. I just got a chance to call in. I don't know what the subject is just yet. Enlighten me and I speak on it.
Yes, sir. Well, we're talking about, right now, man, we're talking about the do's and don'ts when breaking into the music industry. Some of the things that you should do and some of the things that you shouldn't do. Part of the things that we were talking about earlier, make sure as your dues is that you've registered your music, you've copyrighted your music, and then before you call yourself distributing that product, because that's one of the dues that you have to do in order to start creating legs in this industry. The don'ts, don't burn bridges, I can tell you that. Build them and get the people, make sure you get people on your side, because you can attract more flies with, what they say, more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Maybe it's not flies that you want, but I don't know. But I don't know how that saying goes, but you know, I'm just saying. Who's the lead? You got the thing.
You know that wasn't right.
Yeah.
I know. I'm messing it up.
Okay. As far as the dudes, you know, you're right about that. The dudes, you have to, you know, to all the listeners, you know, take care of your bid. You know, you have to do that. That's really one of the main dudes. And along with the, you know, taking care of your business and, you know, with your distributing, you know, make sure you understand what you're doing. In this game, you got to have discipline, patience, wisdom, and understanding. And
know-how.
Because the thing is, you get out here and you get too far in that water where it's dangerous and you don't understand what the piranhas that's around you, you don't know when they start biting you. You know, you gonna know when they start hitting it from every angle, like what's going on with me, you know. And as far as networking, it's very serious. And loyalty and commitment to what you're doing as far as your network is very serious. Burning bridges is very dangerous. You don't want to burn no bridges because you never know what from the little man to the big man, what role they can play in your career as a serious outburst to the industry. So, you know, don't burn no bridges. If people do favors for you, you know, please return the favor. You know, if people ask you, the small man asks you for a little favor that might seem big to you because of your status, don't overlook that small man and step on him like your aunt. Now, I did hear y'all say something about people, how Poetic would reach out to people, and they just don't hear it. They don't take, you know, heed to what he's trying to do. And, you know, I just want to shoot on the wisdom side of that. You know, you got to understand how people are in today's time. You know, like I told you Monday, I throw myself on that list. It's a lot of stress in this world, frustration, a lot of adversity. And adversity, like I said before, is what circumstances do to you. And a lot of things that's going on is very psychological nowadays. So what I've been trying to do is figure out a way to get in the mind of people, because, you know, like the Bible say, blessed is the man who believe and have not seen. Satan has reversed that. But they don't understand when that scripture is flipped and you make yourself believe blessed is the man who see, blessed is the man who see and have not seen. You know, that's what you're facing. People are, they want to see it. When they see it put together, then they want to say, okay, I'm down. And that sets up a false trust system. So you can't, yeah, you can't fully be successful when you approach the business at their standpoint. And because when you do, you're going to still start at the bottom of the toe pole, but that person is going to come in with the arrogance. He belongs in the same status as you because he watched you. Not him, because he watched you.
Because he watched you.
Yeah, because I mean, and that's really, and I'm going to tell you something. You can't blame them. It's just a
hey, don't get me wrong, man. That's a funny statement because, boy, I can tell you right now, and I know this for a fact, it's some haters watching. And I hope y'all hearing it.
I was going to go to that, Nick. I was going to say, the thing with that is, the people that actually are watching you, they envying you the whole time.
Yeah.
But once you make them a believer, they despise you because spiritually and deep down inside, you've proven them wrong. So it sets up a false trust system. And those who don't believe that they are haters, keep watching Poetic build this ship. And when he succeeds, watch how you hate it. If he don't turn to you and say, okay, Pootsie Lee, come on and get on this train. I throw myself on the list. I mean, I don't want to cut nobody out. You know, and he say, if he don't call me and say, hey, I'm on now, you know, come jump on this train, if he don't come to me like that, then I'm vulnerable to hate him.
Well, I'm not that guy. I can't say I'm going to remember everybody, but I remember you, Pootsie. And that's you show up.
Yeah. You know, because you called me several times. I mean, I know you're about to get off the air in about 8 minutes. But let me just
let somebody else get in, but go ahead and finish your talk.
Yeah. You know, you called me several times and you told me several things you pretty much needed me to do. And I support you 100%. But I've been going through my adversity. So I'm not naive to what I have not done that you asked me. Like I told you, I was going to call you Wednesday. But I was disturbed. I just said, time out, y'all. I came outside and I called you, you know, in the last 14 minutes. But go ahead, open another line, you know.
All right. Thank you, man.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. P-A-T and Daylight, your line is open.
Yo, man, Poetic. Well, first of all, let me just say, man, I enjoyed the program and everything like that. My first time being up on here, you know, and definitely won't be the last time tuning in. respect what you're doing or whatever. Pat, you know what I mean, sends his salute, you know what I mean, and you got him from both of it, dog, from the bottom to the tippy top, yeah?
Okay.
You know, the biggest thing I think is, you know, got to stay working, man. Like, you know, you'd be surprised, like, you know, like you said, when you start making people believers, you know what I mean? Like, I remember when I couldn't get 7 dudes to a show. You understand what I mean? And you know, to be able, like, you know, I did a show in my city, whatever, it went through one of the biggest, you know, venues out here. And, you know, I brought the whole hood with me. You understand? Like, all 5 boroughs. So, I mean, you know, just extending and having that impact and being able to, you know, thing, like, it definitely thing, because now when the people look, it's like, you know, you don't get 100 people following you into a club for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Unless sure. you've established some, you know, like some serious, serious groundwork, you know. So, I mean, that, you know, is important. And I think, you know,
we're going to have to hit that again at another time. We got 5 minutes. I got to close out the show.
No doubt, man. Okay. But, okay. Yo, definitely would ever appreciate you, dog.
Let me give you my number so y'all have it, okay?
Yeah,
I'm giving it to you now. So y'all pull out your pencil, pull out your pen, burn up some paper, write it down. Do something. Make it happen. Pull out some lipstick, you know, your girl's lipstick, write it down. It's 954-461-3398. Again, that number is 954-461-3398. That's my direct number. Feel free to text me, whatever you got to do, or just call. Really, I'm a guy that love a phone call more than text. Call me. Okay?
I got you.
All right, brother. We're going to go to Dante. Dante's been waiting patiently. Dante, you got 2 minutes. Is Dante with us? Dante, I'm going to have to skip your line, man. Okay? 253-838.
Yeah, this is Raw Dog in here.
Raw Dog.
Hey, you know what? I just want to say that, hey, out of the history of people on the radio, you are one of the only individuals I know that will give out his personal number just fit to be there for the artist and trying to do for the young people. And I appreciate that, you know, and hey, Godspeed with it, you know. And I think that once they realize that you're going to start playing the new artists on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and all they got to do is submit that $10, you know, to get some radio play, I think they're going to jump on board, Al. So, you know, hey, I know you got to close down the show, but, hey, God bless you, man.
All right, man. God bless you, too, guys. I appreciate everybody who listened to Hip Hop National. Can't do it without you. Especially all of you guys are participating and jumping in to support the program. Big O, we lost him. His line dropped. His phone may have gone dead. But wanted to say thank you, just in case you go back to the show. Wanted to say thank you for tuning in. I'm going to call out all of you guys, and I'm going to start the night off with saying Admo Flavor. Admo Flavor was not in the chat room tonight, but one thing I could say, Admo Flavor, he puts out and promotes this show every day. Actually, he's actually the ones who set it up for me in the past 3-4 weeks. He's been doing it for me because I've been having computer issues. I've even had them tonight while we were on the phone. Want to say Raw Dog. Raw Dog has stepped up to the plate, and he's batting 1,000 for us. Every day he's just been holding in there, making things happen, making sure he touched bases with the people. And his son, Dr. AT, he bringing it in. I love how you guys are reeling it in, bringing it to the game. Pootsie Lee, thank you for coming in. PAT and Daylight. Man, you guys couldn't do it without you guys tonight. Thanks once again. I appreciate it. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We're in the business of helping you make music and make money. We teach you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. We are a marketing firm to help you create a professional portfolio to present in front of the insider circles of the music business. You can call, you can log on to www.hiphopnational.com. It will be a lady that pops up. She will guide you to what you need to do. And I'll tell you straight up, if you're not missing it then from her, you can get it from me. Go to Maximize Your Exposure. Right now, I'm doing it for $10, guys. $10 if you're listening to this show. It says $25. Just wave that. Put the word Wednesday on there because I'm doing it Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week. Put Wednesday in your promo code and boom. It's $10, okay? Just to let you guys know, if you're listening to the show, you can do it now. And sponsor Friday show. Good night, everybody. I appreciate you for tuning in. I'll see you. I'll see you next time.
For coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop National.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.